Hello, folks, and welcome to our weekly guided writing session. Before we begin, let's just have a moment of silence together to gather our energies and leave the outside world outside for the next hour and 15 minutes. So if you'd like to join me, just whenever you're ready, gently close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths in and out through the nostrils. And we'll just sit for 1 minute together, please. And after your next exhalation, gently open your eyes and come into the room in soft focus. Ah, welcome. Let's say hello to our co-host, Jay Cobley.
Hello, Mark, and hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Good to see you, Jay. Last week, we were talking about trust in relationships and love, where in our lives more love is called for. Self-love, love of others, love of the world, love of our practice, love of the divine, love of the creative spirit in us. Where is love called for in our lives? And this week we're going to be looking at the question of healing and what healing means as a dynamic of the sacred feminine, whose properties, whose thrust is to make whole, to create integrity. That is, of course, what healing means. Healing is about wholeness of a spiritual nature, not necessarily curing of the body. And that's a very important distinction that lots of folks fail to make. One can be quite healed in spirit and healed emotionally while being physically sick. I've worked with people in hospice, for example, who were on their deathbeds, literally, and were happier than they had ever been in their lives. They said they had never felt more whole than they felt at that moment, with a body that was actually in complete collapse. So healing and curing are not the same thing. And making that distinction is really useful, because curing is simply not always possible. And so to feel incurable can feel unhealable, and those two are not identical. So let's start with our first writing of the evening. Jay, I'd like you please now to take 20 minutes to write about where healing is needed in your life today. Where is healing needed in your life today, and why is this important? Be as specific as you can be, please. 20 minutes, and we'll come back together as a group. 15 more minutes, please. Where do you feel less than whole? Where does balance needed? Where do you want to bring together parts of yourselves that may feel conflicted or discordant, okay, or simply unwell? 15 minutes, please. 10 more minutes, please. What does healing look like to you? 10 minutes. Five more minutes, please. If you finish early, go back and reread what you've written, see what you may have left out, what you might want to add, what other questions it may raise in you. 5 minutes, please. One more minute, please. Let's start to finish up. And let's come back together as a group. Welcome back. So please put your writing aside for the moment. How was this for you looking at the places in your life that need healing, where you feel less than whole, where you feel out of balance, unwell, yearning in some way, feeling incomplete in some way. It's a great question for getting to the heart of where we are not in alignment with ourselves and where the quality of our lives is being affected by a lack of integrity in some way, a lack of a feeling of wholeness in some way. This is great stuff to continue to look at, and especially to remember this distinction between curing and healing. A lot of folks don't realize that curing is a very narrow parameter within the greater field of healing. So Jay, let's see if we have any questions on the chat.
Absolutely. And as I shared a little earlier in the chat box, please go ahead and share your question or comment in the chat window. And after the second exercise, we will gladly open up your audio and video as well. Jillian mentioned, is healing the same as acceptance?
Acceptance is a first mandatory step to healing, Jillian. There's no healing without opening to what is and to whatever condition you find yourself in. You can't have any pay attention to it or bring mindfulness to it unless you've accepted that it's there. So acceptance, though, is a tricky word. Acceptance doesn't mean you have to like it. Acceptance doesn't mean you're resigning yourself to its, you know, perpetual existence in your life. You know, acceptance means being with what is. That's how I define acceptance in this context. So without doing that, we can't possibly be with what needs healing if we are pushing away the facts of the present moment. So absolutely, Jillian, acceptance is an indispensable first step.
Lorna shared, I got it that my greatest need for healing is to realize that I'm already healed. I just need to peel off the layers that don't already know that I'm fine just the way I am.
That's a good point, Lorna. And instead of look, and you can look at it as layers or you can look at it as a story. You know, there are stories there telling you that you don't have what you need, or that you're in some way incomplete. What are those narratives? You know, what are you believing about your own incompleteness? That's where the incompletion is coming from. It's not that anything is actually missing. It's that you're perceiving that it is. So what are the stories around incompleteness for you, Lorna? And the reason that I distinguish between layers and narrative is, for me, narrative story feels like something that I can do something about. I can really see it. When I think about peeling the layers off myself like paper mache, it feels like an endless process. And it doesn't feel as clear to me somehow. So rather than seeing it as some kind of a layer that's become a part of who you are, it's simply a series of thoughts. And that series of thoughts is convincing you that you're less than whole in some way. Get specific about what those ways are, and look straight on at those beliefs. That's what's going to shift the sense of fragmentation or the ways that you don't feel like you are whole. So give that a try, Lorna.
Madeline shared, I haven't been intimate with a man for over 25 years. My greatest need for healing is to trust men.
Yes, Madeline, that sounds like a great place to start, although you might want to take a step back from that and say maybe the first step is to trust yourself. You know, to trust yourself to be with men in a healthy way, or to trust yourself to have the needs that you do have. To trust yourself that you're not the little girl you might have been 50 years ago, and that you're actually a full-grown woman who can make conscious choices. So start with the trust in here, and then you can move out to the trust of men. Otherwise, there's probably going to be some feeling of insecurity or uncertainty that could shadow the your efforts and shatter the relationship. So ask yourself, do you trust yourself with men? Do you trust your taste in men? Do you trust your desires for men? Okay, that's a great place to start. And then the trusting of the men, or the discernment around men, will come naturally after you have that level of confidence in your own ability to take care of yourself, keep your eyes open, and also your own trusting your own motivation, you know, that you're really coming from a loving place and that what you really want is connection. So try that and see how it works, Madeline. Thanks.
Another question, and I'm not sure by just their identity, says healing is no lack of direction, no inner conflict, all facets of oneself united, no triggers, no projection, no delusion. Sounds to me very much like spiritual evolution or enlightenment.
Well, it is evolution. I hesitate to use the word enlightenment because people have a lot of big ideas about what enlightenment means. What I would caution against is being too extreme in your definition of what healing means. If I can walk, if I can't walk, and tomorrow I can walk a block, that's healing. I don't have to run a 50-yard dash. So every little bit is a step of healing. In the same way that every time we awaken to the fact that we're not paying attention or we're not present, that is a moment of enlightenment. See, so I like to use those words in the lowercase rather than the uppercase. So healing, lowercase, enlightenment, lowercase, and then we're more forgiving, and we also can give ourselves credit for the progress that we are making, instead of feeling like I'm not there yet. That's what we want to look at closely, is that repeating story of trying to get somewhere, not being able to quite arrive as an individual, to finally quite have what we want to be happy. That's that incompleteness that healing wants to address. Okay, so look out for perfectionism and a kind of black or white. I'm either healed or I'm not. No, we're all on a spectrum between healing and unhealing. And that spectrum is always changing. So where are you? And that's why this question was, where are you today in regards to your own healing in various places in your life? It's not about arriving there. Yeah. So thank you for that. I think we should move on to our next writing, Jay.
All right, let's do that.
Great. I'd like you please now to take 20 minutes to write about what you know intuitively that your reasoning mind rejects. Okay, what do you know in your gut, in your loins, in your body, that your head tries to deny or resist in some way? Okay, what do you know intuitively? What is intuition telling you that logic or the reasoning mind simply will have no part of? Okay, we'll take 20 minutes to do that, please, and then we'll come back together as a group. 15 more minutes, please. What do you know in your body that your mind denies? 15 minutes. 10 more minutes. Do you have flashes of awareness or insight that you ignore? 10 more minutes, please. Five more minutes, please. One more minute, please. Let's start to finish up. And let's come back together as a group. Please put your writing aside for the moment. So how was this for you, writing about intuition and what you know in your body or emotionally that your reasoning, logical, ration-heavy head shuts down? That's the question. And that's why writing is such an incredibly powerful tool for getting past the limitations and the resistances of the mind. It allows us to dip below that level and touch into the feeling dimension. And when we give voice to those feelings, it ratifies them. One of the ways that we suppress our hidden knowledge, our secret knowledge, is we don't allow it to be said. We don't allow ourselves to speak it. And that's why, of course, in 12-step meetings, one of the first steps for them is to state that they are addicts. When we give credence to things through language, we can no longer deny them. Once you ring a bell, you can't unring it. Once you say something or write something down, you can't unsay it. You can try to deny and backpedal, but it's not generally successful. Once we allow ourselves to say what we know, it becomes knowledge. Then we have the chance to actually manifest it, embody it in our lives. So let's open up the lines, Jay, and have some questions, some conversation.
Thank you, Mark. And if you don't mind in sharing your question or comment, please just raise your hand through your computer. And a lot of you I know are familiar, but if you're not, what you can do is tap the taskbar with your mouse at the bottom of your screen and then click participants. And then you'll see a little button that says raise hand and we will bring you into the session. And for everybody else, if you'd like to turn on your video, you're more than welcome to do that throughout the Q&A.
Yep. That would be great. We had a request from one of our members for folks to please turn on their video if you're at all comfortable doing so. It makes it more interesting for everyone and we can engage visually with each other, even though we can't be together in body.
And if anyone needs any assistance or is told they can't turn on their video, just type in a little note and I can initiate that for you individually on my end. While we're waiting for somebody to raise their hand, Mark, I do have a question I can read that just sure. Prior to the second question.
Sure.
Pat shared, healing is needed in my sense of who I am, my view of my value as a person, my willingness to be human and therefore fallible, as well as my ability to accept my fallibility as a normal part of being human instead of a sign of weakness and low worth.
Yes, absolutely, Pat. And so, of course, you can go deeper into that and say, why do I believe that being human is an obstacle to being good or to being trustworthy or to being worthy of your own self-love? Where does that come from? And why is it that you think that something is missing, something that has to be somehow hidden, and that if others find out that it brings up shame? This is obviously, as you know, Pat, this is narrative, this is story. These are repetitions of impressions from the past, projections into the future, you know, everything but actually being here now, where the threat is almost never what we think it's going to be. So you know this already, Pat, but it's worth looking at why one associates a humility, for example, with lack of self-worth. You know, I've run into that with folks recently. When I've used the word humility, I've had some pushback from people thinking that I meant humiliation in some way. And in fact, humility is a profound, liberating spiritual quality that allows us to admit that we have limitations and allows us to acknowledge our proper dimension, proportion in relation to the universe. So humility is the path to freedom, as opposed to what a lot of folks think, which is that it's something to be resisted or fought against because it's going to put us down in some way. It's going to diminish us in some way when in fact just the opposite is true. Thank you, Pat.
And it looks like we've got Thomas. I'm going to go ahead and bring you in, Thomas. Hello, and thank you for waiting.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Thomas.
First of all, I would say that writing in general allows me to have things come out of my gut that I didn't, maybe my mind was hiding to begin with.
Right.
So the writing process allows this to happen. And it's interesting, of the two questions, the first one was, I realized that in my writing, as I started to write this, that I first of all had to admit that I am wounded. And I, if I'm going to be healed, I have to admit that I have wounds. I have a wound, which was always very hard for me to admit. And secondly, that as far as the second question, my gut is telling me that those wounds are okay. And my head wants to tell me, no, you should not be wounded. So I saw those two questions really working with each other in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And so were you finally, Thomas, able to write down the ways that you feel wounded?
I was, which came up a lot about, I hated to admit it, but there's things that went on in my childhood that I just didn't want to admit. I was protective of my family in many ways. I didn't want, it was like I was telling family secrets, even if I wrote them down.
Yeah.
And that was something that I really didn't want to do.
Right, right. But of course, that's the path to healing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Someone asked earlier about acceptance and healing. And obviously, until you can accept that these things happened and accept that they left a mark on you, nothing's going to shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I my gut is saying not only that the healing is me and that that the wounds are there, but that they are part of that growing process.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Excuse me. Go ahead.
It's okay to be wounded, and it's not only okay, but it's like sharpening the knife. It needs to be honed by these difficult, challenging wounds.
Exactly right. Yeah. So for you to explore that, what are the benefits of these wounds? The word blessé, the French, means to wound. So blessing and wounding are very closely tied together in the alchemy of healing and spirituality.
Wow.
So what's the connection for you, Thomas? I invite you to write about that, between these particular wounds and the particular ways that you want to grow or that you feel yourself moving toward wholeness.
Good. I will do that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Nice to see you.
You too.
Thank you, Thomas. And I know Julie was interested in joining us next. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Hi there, Julie.
I wanted to show you my picture. Oh, there it is. Because I didn't think you'd believe I'm actually here.
There you are. Nice to see you.
It's wonderful, Mark. Thank you. I did have a question. My first thought was that I needed healing in regard to my OCD, which my rational mind immediately said, no, that's wrong. That's a wrong answer.
So you had an OCD reaction.
Exactly. So because I get myself so wired sometimes, trying to do multiple things at once, and it's just ridiculous. And I recognize it, but a lot of the time I cannot stop it. When I meditate, most of the time, if I give myself a chance and stick with it, you know, I'm able to. But I don't know. Was that the wrong route to pursue my OCD?
No, not at all. Not at all. So you're saying that you have OCD tendencies.
Sort of.
And that they perpetuate because you fight them? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't really fight them. I get mad at them.
Okay, that's fighting. That's fighting them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where you're stuck. Is when these feelings come up or these thoughts come up that are hard for you or that make you that are crazy making. Rather than fighting them, allow them, invite them in, allow them to be there. Say, okay, fellas, come on in. Come in, all of you. Come on in. Now we're just going to sit here together and I'm going to talk to you, right? And then when you start that dialogue, you're going to find that they're much more acquiescent than they are when you tell them to, you know, get the hell out and then they're pounding on the door. So if you invite them in, that's going to be more, more effective.
Well, that's good advice. I appreciate that, Mark, because usually it's simply my inner scream, I'm driving myself crazy.
Right. And that so makes you feel so much better, doesn't it? Right.
No.
So let your crazy in. Whatever your crazy happens to be, let the crazy in. Because if we don't let it in, if we don't let ourselves look at it and dialogue with it, it can't shift. You won't know what it really is made of. So what I would ask yourself, Julie, is what is this OCD? What is this compulsion? Where are you trying to get with, if I just arrange that closet, if I just do that, eighth, chore of the day, where are you trying to get to? Because it has something to do with happiness. It has something to do with well-being. So there's a way that there's an imagination that if you do all of these things, it's going to lead you to well-being. And that's a fallacy.
I think it very possibly has to do with my age. And I'm so fortunate to be healthy and active at my age. I want to get everything done as soon as possible before I lose it.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, so try sitting with the thought, what if you don't? I mean, what if you don't? You're not going to
get everything done?
Yes, none of us is going to get everything done.
No, but
that kind of perfectionism is crazy making. And it makes you anxious. And it makes it hard to be where we are in the moment. So if you don't get to that, that next thing, at least you will have been here for this. So there's fear in that. That's my point, is Julie. There's fear, there's anxiety. Look at that. The anxiety of I'm not going to finish everything.
Okay. When I wrote on the prompt about trust, I stated that I acknowledge when I have a fear rise up in me. And I'm getting better at accepting it and going on in spite of it. So this is another one I did not think of as a fear.
Yeah.
And it is, I see, it's... Woo.
It is, it's a fear.
Yeah.
So try to make some space for it, and it won't have as much power over you. Yeah. It's good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie. And we do have time if you'd like to raise your hand and share a question or comment. Muriel shared, Mark, and I think this was the only text. So I let my migraines in too, instead of fighting them in every possible way. Are they my crazy?
Absolutely. Well, they're not your crazy. They're a physical condition. But by all means, Muriel, let them in. They're there anyway. So it's whether we accept or let things in or not, they're there. So it's going to have its impact on you. The question is, how can you reduce your suffering? How can you reduce the tension and the conflict? And the first thing to do is to let it in. Say, here you are again, my friend. You know, here you are again. Big, as my friend Stephen Levine used to say, big surprise. You know, fear, big surprise, pain, big surprise, big surprise. It deflates the reaction, the reactivity of this can't be happening again, what Julie was just talking about, or you with migraines, it can't be happening again, I can't let this happen again. Well, of course, that just exacerbates it. So the first thing you do in any conflictive situation is to relax and open to whatever it is. Just relax and open. Because it's going to find its way into you one way or the other. You can either invite it in and create some kind of a harmony and balance it out, or it will manifest in symptoms, it will manifest in depression, vague sorts of feelings of anger, anxiety you can't put your finger on. Okay, so rather be conscious about it. Say, here we go again. You know, and chances are it will reduce the stress, and the stress can only help you feel better physically, Muriel. Thanks.
Thank you, Muriel. And Carmen has her hand raised. Hello, Carmen.
Hi, Jay. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Carmen.
You know, when I started with the second writing prompt, I realized that in a few days, I'm actually going to be meeting with a family member with whom I have to raise some issues that pertain to my family, some conversations that need to happen, and I am the matriarch of the family, and a few days ago I realized that it's up to me to address the situation. So I have been running in my mind scenarios of what is it that I want to say. And I realized when you gave the prompt that there has been a bit of a fight between reason and intuition. So during the 20 minutes, I actually wrote what is it that I want to say when I meet with this person. And it just came out like it was there all along, but reason sometimes is like such a weight, you know, sometimes reason crushes everything else.
Yeah, reason can be a bully. Reason is a great tool. It's a great helper, but it's a terrible master, like they say about the mind.
Yeah, so in a way, the reason is what is making me right now to prepare for this meeting. But intuition is the part of me that really knows exactly what is it that I want to say.
Yeah.
So this was a wonderful opportunity to write about that instead about the prompt. But so I really thank you.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. Thanks, Carmen. And that's an important, thank you for that, particularly, folks. These prompts are for you. There's no right way to answer them. So for you, Carmen, it triggered something that needed to come out, and you went with it. That's the idea with this self-inquiry work. Don't worry about being literal necessarily. If you have an intuitive response,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen. And Mark, I want to be respectful of time too, but we have gotten to everybody.
Okay. Well, terrific then. Everyone have a wonderful week. I look forward to seeing you again next week for our next writing session. By the way, I had a great conversation today with September's guest speaker, who's Rupert Spira, who's a fantastic British non-duality teacher. And it was such an enlightening conversation. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you in a couple of weeks. And I will see you all next Tuesday. Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week.